Scripture reading for this afternoon is taken from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. That's Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. If you're following along in the Bible, it's located in the pews. That's on page 1133. The Bible reads, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory."
Good afternoon. Trying to hold on to my excitement. How's yours? Y'all wasn't that excited this morning, truth be told. Didn't see. So I know you're excited now, just jazzed and pumped and ready to go. Colossians chapter 3. I was talking to B.J. Clark over the weekend and other brother, and we were talking about Marshall Keeble. We were talking about sermons and preaching, and somebody made the point that how Brother Keeble was so effective and all the things that he had done in his life and the way he'd helped spread the gospel and the soul saved and so forth. And then somebody said, "And you know, he didn't preach that long." And he just got quiet. I said, "No, I've listened to several of his sermons, and they're not more than 22, 24 minutes. I've listened to them." It is my goal to learn from him on afternoon sermons on first and third Sundays. So I'm with you. I'm with you. We're going to get to Colossians chapter 3. Before we do, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Looking forward to the men's retreat. I was at one not long ago, and the theme and things related to that particular one had to do with being a soldier. And I was asked to talk about soldiers not being distracted by the affairs of this life. And that's what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 concerning Timothy. Verse number 3, he says, "Suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of this of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." The title of our sermon this afternoon is Making Christ Our Life. So we're going to go back to Colossians 3 to learn how to do that. We start here in 2 Timothy 2 to simply note the necessity of doing that. The Apostle Paul refers to Christians as soldiers in the Lord's army. And as soldiers in active service, the NASV says, you cannot allow the world to distract you. The affairs of this life cannot take a soldier from his duties. Especially is that true in times of war. Now, when I say this, and please understand, I'm trying to move through the material, you know, and respect our time, because I do appreciate that. But that means there are things I can't explain fully and go into great detail about every one of the thoughts. And so I need you to understand, I'm not taking the position, and I don't think it's necessarily a good idea for us to preach to people, make Christ number one in your life. The concept and the idea, I do get it, I hear it. But what it typically does is it makes us prioritize Christ. And it makes us look at our lives as a pie or a piece of or a clock or something like that. And we go into the effort of trying to give Christ the biggest piece. And we try to push him to the top while acknowledging other things are absolutely essential. And all we're trying to do is make sure that if we get to 51% with Jesus, he's got the most. And what I'm saying is, that's not what he means. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what I can preach you this afternoon. Jesus Christ does not want to be a part of your life, not even the biggest part. He wants to be your life. And that cannot be understood in trying to make a chronological list or make him simply a bigger piece. Now, I can't fully flesh that out, but I need you to understand what I'm saying. Yes, no, maybe so? A lot of things are necessary in life. A lot of things can distract. We cannot afford to get caught up in the affairs of this life. Let me read you quickly, just so that you can appreciate that analogy fleshed out with regards to soldiers. Here's what Albert Barnes said regarding Roman soldiers. He says, Roman soldiers were not allowed to marry, nor to engage in any husbandry or trade. They were forbidden to act as tutors to any person, curators to any man's estate, or proctor in the cause of other men. The general principle was that they were excluded from those relations, agencies, and engagements which it was thought would divert their minds from that which it was able to be their sole object or pursuit. The Marines, at least, either jokingly or seriously, they would have a saying that says, if we wanted you to have a wife, we would have issued you one. What they're trying to get across is, we want your allegiance exclusively. Now, as God's people, I want to suggest to you, I believe firmly that the people in this room have done that already. I believe you've given your allegiance to Jesus Christ. I believe and I hope that Christ is your life. The Bible doesn't simply tell us to do something, it tells us how to do it. And so whether or not you've ever gone through a system of thought as to how you did it, well, that's fine. Or whether or not you need to do it, that too is fine, because that's what we're going to talk about. Notice Colossians chapter 3. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. The end of which, in verse number 4, with regards to Christ not being a piece or a part, not even the biggest part, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4, speaking of Jesus, he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also be revealed with him in glory. He is our life. How do you make Christ your life? How do you do that? Let me suggest, Paul says several things here in these first three verses. He says many more from verse 5 on. We'll note them and kind of move on very quickly. Number one, how do you do it? Look back up at verse number 1. Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, the sentiment behind that if is not really a thought of whether or not they have. They have. In fact, if you look at Colossians 2:12, he says they have all gone through the operation of God. These are Christians. And so he's not really asking if you did it. He's much more rather saying, since you did it. Since you have already been raised with Christ, which is what Paul is writing to Timothy. Since you have enlisted into the army, you wouldn't then go allow yourself to be distracted. You wouldn't become the source of that which takes your allegiance and attention from that which you've invested in, which you've enlisted in, since you've done that, and they had. He says several things back in chapter 2 about them. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 4. He says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. You've already been raised with Christ. Don't let anyone persuade you away from him. Verse number 8 of chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men. You've been raised with Christ. Don't allow yourself to be taken away with the traditions of men and philosophy. Look down at verse number 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or respect of a festival or new moon. Why? Because you've been risen with Christ. No one is to judge you in these manners. Verse 20, if you have died with Christ, they had. Since you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why is it as if you are living in the world? Do you submit yourselves to decrees? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These things all refer to that which is to perish. And so Paul says, how do you do it? Well, the reason I can say you've done it is because you're already Christians. You've already said by your enlistment, I give my allegiance. By your enlistment, you're saying, I am putting Jesus above everybody else. Now what you want to ask is, how long ago did you enlist? No soldier that enlists entangles himself with the affairs of this world. The end of what Paul says to Timothy over there is that he may please him who enlisted him. The very fact of the case that you enlist is an admission and acknowledgement that I give my allegiance, my dedication. In fact, this now is my life. So since you've done that, look at verse number 2. Paul says, or the end of verse number 1 actually, seek those things. In fact, the NASB says, keep seeking those things which are above. Since you've done it, keep seeking. How can I prevent the world from distracting me? How can I keep Christ as my life? Well, you've already started the process. Now, keep doing it. Seek those things which are above. Let me ask you this. Who's above? We would say the Godhead is. So what should you do to make Christ your life? I wake up every day. You know, very rarely in a soldier's life does he wake up wondering, what am I going to do today? You're going to do some soldiering today. That's what you're going to do. Every day you're going to soldier. What am I going to do as a Christian? How am I going to make Christ my life? How can I do that? I'm going to keep seeking the things which are above. Jesus invites us, take my yoke and learn of me. How long? No, I'm going to learn of my Savior every day. The reason we have to avoid talking in terms of prioritize Christ, give him 100%, make him number, A, never happens. B, it just induces the wrong concept, because then every effort becomes work and toil and strain. And listen, what if I've enlisted and now what I'm going to do is every day I'm going to seek that which I've committed to? Well, now that's a whole different way to live my life. Learning about my Savior is not a strain. It's a joy. It's a love. I want to do it. In fact, it's what I signed up to do. You know how people sometimes, even in the Lord's church, they talk almost in these glowing terms of almost mysterious workings in the world. Somebody said to me, Eric, you must have wanted to be a preacher a long time in your life. No, how that worked out. God must have called you. No. You know you have a gift. I didn't unwrap it. Missed that. No. My mother obeyed the gospel when we were very young, and so she reared us in the Lord's church. We've never known anything else. But I got to be about 20, 21 years old, and I wasn't sure if the things I've been taught my whole life were things that I wanted to live the rest of my life. In fact, I wasn't sure I needed to know, were they actually true? I heard about the Memphis School of Preaching, and instead of re-enlisting into the Marine Corps, I went to the Memphis School of Preaching. But I need you to know, I went to the Memphis School of Preaching to learn the Bible. I didn't go to become a preacher. Now, it turns out they train preachers at the Memphis School of Preaching, as it turns out. But I needed to know, don't you? Don't you need every day to find out more about him? Isn't that ultimately what? That's not a chore. That's one of the greatest blessings in the world. We're doing this reading now. Friends, listen, there's no pressure in that. There's no strain, no struggle, no strife. Hopefully it's a joy. Keep seeking the things above. If I go at this pace, I'll be longer than Marshall Keeble. Verse number 2. Listen to what Paul says there. How do you do it? Set your mind. The NASB says, the King James says, set your affections. Where? On things above, not on things that are on the earth. I'm going to encourage you once and then 1,000 times. Please don't be unreasonable when you read the Bible. Do not go to these extreme, unnecessary positions. Somebody said, well, if I set my mind on things above, that means I can't enjoy nothing on that. No, you can enjoy stuff. Sure can. Is that what he's saying? Friends, listen, you and I have got to have a desire and an affection for spiritual and holy and heavenly things. At some point, there has to be within my soul a longing and an enjoyment for the spiritual. Church can't always be a chore. Church can't always be a drag. Church can't always be, man, I guess, if I have to. At some point, your affections need to be for the Lord and spiritual matters the way and over and above the way they are for earthly things. I said Marshall Keever preached 22 minutes. Let me tell you what I heard a preacher say in defense. He wasn't really defending against that at all. He was just making an observation. He said something like this. The latest Marvel movie, the runtime is 3 hours and 20 minutes. But you can't keep people's attention for 3 hours and 20 minutes. Marsh Keeve preached 22 minutes. People say, yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you don't go see Marvel if you want to go see Marvel. All I'm saying is, spiritually speaking, as we grow as Christians, the affections for spiritual things need to increase and grow and mature. How do I make Christ my life? I've already obeyed the gospel, so I'm in the army. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep on seeking Him. And then I'm going to set my affections, my joy, my love, my life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul preaches in Philippians chapter 4 over and over again when he talks about Jesus, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I might become like Him. I count it all but dung. What are you saying, Paul? This is exactly what he's saying. And Paul is saying, listen, Christ is my life. I used to have another one. Means nothing to me now because Christ is my life. That needs to be the case, continue to be the case for us all. Verse number 3, for you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, I don't have a good S here, so I just said stay dead. Since you've already died, stay dead. That is, the old man is supposed to be put to death. Friend, it's hard for that man to stay dead if he keeps getting fed. It is hard for that man to stay dead if he keeps getting to do the things that the flesh and what he enjoys. It's hard for him to stay dead. You're going to have to leave that man in the watery grave of baptism. Leave him dead. That goes back to the last point, and that is you got to change the way we live, the way we think, the way we behave, and what we do and what we find pleasure and joy in. May our love and joy for Christ increase. Finally, verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, what are we going to do? Serve. We're going to serve Christ because He's our life. He's not a part of my life. He's not trying to fit into my life. He's not trying to be my co-pilot. He's not trying to be a bigger piece of my pie. No, Christ wants to be my life, and He wants to be your life. Now, we're going to park right there and stop at verse number 4, but if you were to read from verse number 5 onward, you'll see that the Apostle Paul does what he does in Philippians or Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about the changed mind and heart, and then talks about how that affects us in our lives. And it's not accidental that every relationship we have is covered in Colossians chapter 3. Husbands, wives, parenting, bosses, employees, and every relationship then is impacted by the heart and the mind and the changes in these first 5 verses. Christ needs to be our life. If you're a Christian, you've already enlisted. Keep seeking, keep setting, keep serving. Not a Christian, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Friends, you need to. There is no greater life in the world. There is no greater blessing, no greater benefit. Nothing you can do better than to live for Jesus. Friends, if you're not doing that, you need to. Would you believe that He's the Son of God and turn away from the world, turn from sin, change your heart, change your mind. Confess His name and be immersed in water. Let him save you, wash away your sins, make you whole, make you a new creation, and then grow in his grace and let him transform you. Make Christ your life. If he is, wonderful. Keep growing. If he's not, start today before it's eternally too late. We can help you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.